Okay, welcome back. It's time to spend an hour with one of the truly extraordinarily gifted, talented writers on the international geopolitical scene. He is a writer whose works appear all over the place. His name is Phil Butler, and he's got a columnist spot on the left-hand side of Rents for you. We're starting to catalog his articles there. His most current article that I know of is called Putin Was There, The Day Britain's Lights Finally Went Out, published in NEO, New Eastern Outlook, NEO. Excellent website there as well. Hello, Phil. Welcome back.
Jeff, how are you?
Great to talk to you again.
Probably not as sleepy as you are.
I finally, after four cups of coffee, I'm almost here.
Wow. All right. Now, Phil is living halfway around the world from most of us here in the States, but his views are as stateside in many ways as you can get. His analyses are looking over the shoulder of what used to be the United States of America and seeing where it is now. We just spent an hour with Professor Doom, Phil, and this guy is watching the utter decay and decline and complete remanufacture of our so-called institutions of higher education, colleges and universities. There are 47 different gender assignments you can choose now. I mean, it's gone crazy. So we are not producing kids that are going to be functional, capable. They're not going to contribute. There's 1.5 trillion student debt now. It's over here. It's done.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, Jeff. I mean, it's interesting that you would, that you guys would be talking about this at this moment, considering all the other stuff that's going on. People have a hard time wrapping their mind around the fact that what they used to call a conspiracy theory is really a conspiracy fact. I mean,
you bet. All of us who have been conspiracy researchers for years and years have been proven 100% correct. There are conspiracies everywhere. The modern world is run on conspiratorial bases. There's no other way to view it.
Absolutely. I think that if we just step back a little bit, anybody can step back and look at it and go, this is kind of a human facet. I mean, you know, we talk together, we plan together,
we scheme together, we plot together. Yeah.
It's like you and I always talk from a standpoint of just two American guys sitting on a stump, you know. I mean, I think that's what people need to grasp, that the reality of what it is to be an American or a German or whatever nationality you identify with, and just, you know, come to moderate some of these crazy schemes and mudslinging and all the ad nauseum and,
you know, what it is, Phil, in my view, it's showbiz. Showbiz has sloughed over and become, to a large degree, the fundamental bedrock of American national and even geopolitical international politics. It's showbiz, whether it's Macron and Trump holding hands in the White House. God, did you see that picture? What a joke. It wasn't a handshake. They were holding hands.
It's like they're lovers.
That's it.
Come on.
Well, they call it a bromance, you know? But it's just gone. It's a sideshow of the macabre. It's bizarre.
You're right. You described it aptly, the slopping over. I mean, you know, we grew up in an era where the ad men were brilliant guys that were trying to sell products to people in the soap operas and westerns or whatever.
That's right.
And it was interesting and neat, but it slopped over, like you say, into something that's convoluted and macabre.
When you've got the media as the platform, you would expect it, and that's what it is. It's showbiz, and it is not going to get any better. There is no substance to it. It's fluid in its, quote, morality. It's all contextually based. Whatever the context is what you're going to see. They're going to tell you what they want you to think. There's no veracity. There's no honest-to-God bedrock of any kind of intellectual honesty anymore. I just don't see any of it. None of it. Maybe Tucker Carlson tries, but we all know that Tucker is on a short leash. He can't do what he'd like to do or he'd be out the door. So he's got to be careful. And we, those of us in this business who know, I forgive him that. He's doing a great job. He's going as far as he can. But I don't, can you name one other person who does what he does? I can't.
No, there's not one. I mean, not at that level.
No.
So, you know, what we're talking about here, this came home to me again, but more forcefully the other day. I was talking with an old high school chum, a girl that I'd been friends with for, you know, 4 or 5 decades, you know. And, you know, it came around to people don't like to talk about politics, but somehow when you're a fixture like you or me or some of the other independent people, then they're bound to ask you why Putin or why Russia or why would you moderate this? And then your brain's full, you go to start telling them, or not necessarily trying to convince them, but just explain how you got involved. But in their rhetoric coming back at you, I don't know about you, but for me, I get sad because I just go, wow, these people are in a bubble they'll never get out of. It's impossible.
Never. No.
There's no way to reach.
That's right.
They, like the gas attack, the girl, you know, she's a smart person. She goes, well, what about the gas attack? I said, it didn't happen. She goes, what do you mean it didn't happen? We fired missiles. I mean, the firing of the missiles validated
the lie.
The lie. Yeah.
Wow.
And I'm just going, I don't know. I said,
and
I
if
can
you
prove
push them, she'll say, what will she say? She'll say, well, I saw it on the news.
Yeah,
it had to be real.
It came down to this, Jeff. You know, I said something about CNN. I was trying to allude to people may not say they like CNN or listen to CNN, but they end up being CNN. You know what I mean? They say the same things. It's the State Department rhetoric. So I'm saying, I said, you can't do the CNN thing. She goes, I don't even watch CNN. I'm going, but you sound just like CNN. You might as well watch. It's already permeated your existence. I was really being calm and not overly passionate about the subject. And then this individual, who mirrored many individuals I've talked to, just didn't have anything other than this news bomb that, and people that they'd been talking to, it's permeated the whole society. So if you go to work in America,
right?
I mean, you and I talk, someone's listening to your radio show right now, they're going, yeah, Jeff, he's bringing me the good stuff. But they go to work or they go to McDonald's or wherever.
No, they get no reinforcement. So they're on their own.
They're on their own, and nobody likes to be on their own. So you can do what we do and be ridiculed. Or you can just shut up and flow with the cattle. I mean, it's sad. It's really a sad.
It is a sad situation. I mean, when I was a kid, even when I went to college, there were still some honest to God thinking people who were proactive about life, who were creating things. They knew they didn't want to sit around and wait. They made things happen. Now, young people don't do that anymore. They're taught not to. They're taught that they're victims. They're taught that they need to have crying rooms and teddy bears. And
it's
utter destruction of two generations now. And now I had a story running. The millennials are blaming their parents for their miserable lives. Right?
Yeah, I have a son. I mean, I have nephews that blame, and my best friend's children. They're wonderful people, warm and loving, but they have this thorn or splinter in their brain of empowerment. One of them was talking the other day about the Bible. So I think the dad had said, you know, you should look more into what you learned from Sunday school and go back and read some of these tenets and. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then this person was relating to me, and then the child came back, was like 20-something years old, and said, and what they took out of the scripture was the prodigal son. So in other words, this individual had made some mistakes in their life, you know, like all of us do. But their reality was, for the parent, look, you need to take care of me my whole life no matter what, and I'm the prodigal son, instead of owning up to the mistakes and what have you. So this is where we're at. I mean, our Americans, these new Americans, are taught that they're exceptional, that it's somebody else's fault. Every excuse that can be used is why, you know, and you and I were taught when we grew up that not to make excuses. You know, you just own up to.
They taught us responsibility, and we took it. It was our fault. There was accountability. And then they started in school. No, we can't grade kids because they'll get a complex. They'll feel inferior. We've got to keep no more grades. That's not good. It just went on. It can all be documented. We know what's going on. And what we have is the end result. And we knew what we were going to get. We have kids that, and you mentioned a moment ago, his child in his 20s or something, a 20-year-old child. That's what many of these people are now. All of them. Many of them are. And for you bright young people who are in college and universities and are really serious about it, you must look around campus and just shake your head at what you see. It's not inspiring.
You know, the percentages, I taught geography for a spell there because I like geography, always have. And I was appalled. I mean, I like kids. I used to coach sports and stuff like that. And I remember this one class that I had. There was this one girl who was, she wasn't IQ-wise. She wasn't all that much more intelligent than the other students. But she was the child you just described. She was doing her work, making all A's, ahead of this No Child Left Behind mediocrity. She was way ahead of that. Mm-hmm. But she didn't talk. She just stayed to herself. She did her work, and it was extraordinary compared to most of the other kids.
She had to self-isolate to succeed.
Yeah, sure. And I asked her, you know, at a point, you know, you see people or who they are, and I just asked her. I asked her why, you know, how did she get so smart, or you know, how did she adopt this? She said, "Look at them, Mr. Butler. You know, why are they even here?" You know, her, and I think that's the message that we have to somehow or need to somehow get to younger people.
The loneliness of the viable, intellectually alive young person.
Absolutely. If you want to break it down into terms that they might understand, even though now the generation probably didn't even see the movie The Matrix, they have got their nose in their iPhone too far to even remember a movie a decade ago. But
you
they're
got
in
it.
The Matrix. They're in The Matrix. They're hooked into a system that's being fed by, you know, and I get this feeling, and maybe you'll agree. You know, I do a lot of analysis and writing, and you know how deep the rabbit hole goes. Every time you start doing research, you end up connecting to, like you were talking with your other guest, academia or business, or it all connects. It's like a something
it's
out
a matrix.
Of a movie.
It's a matrix. It's a matrix.
It's a matrix. Yeah. And Hollywood slopped over and became real. So where's Neo? I'm waiting for Neo. Maybe you're Neo, or I am.
I don't know. I think that what we have to look forward to is a next generation, the snowflakes or whatever they're called, of being really almost socially incompetent. Yeah. They just don't have it. And their parents will end up taking them in and will end up stuck with them. And ultimately, forever. If they can make anything of their lives, they'll end up taking care of their parents. Because the parents will be out of the job market.
I think by that time the United States in particular would have become so amoral that they won't have to worry about taking care of their parents. It'll be like the movie Soylent Green, if you want to slop movies over. I mean, they'll be melting parents down into making food out of them or
they
dog
may.
Food.
Who they knows? May. Turn your parents in. Remember, they're getting young people now to turn their parents in.
Absolutely.
So, my dad, my mom, they used to beat me. Oh, really? Even though this kid is 16 or 17, doesn't matter. They'll go after the parents. CPS. CPS is the new Gestapo of young people now. They're being used, young people, to call CPS. They're training them. You have a problem, report your parents. If there's any abuse, report your parents. And we're talking about emotional abuse. What's emotional abuse? My parents ordered me to clean my room. That was abusive. They emotionally abuse me. This is what these kids are thinking.
Yeah, I mean, you see it. It's a little bit different here. I think that, you know, people ask me how come I'm in Greece, and I tell them because it's the United States 40 years ago. The people here are like they were in America in the 60s.
Wow.
I mean, not all of them, and nothing's perfect, but right. I think that there's still pockets of reality left. I think, you know, I can almost cry over it when I see what's happening in the United States.
Well, the greatest, it's a loss, an irreplaceable loss to us here in the U.S. and you
and humanity.
But more than that, it's a loss to the world. It's a loss to humanity. We had an example that most all peoples could aspire to, could look to, and now it's gone. Do they look to now? It's gone.
Well, over here, there's a lag. You know, you remember, I guess maybe 30 years ago, things used to migrate from California to the East Coast.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, something would happen, a trend happen in California, and then it became a little bit more, you know, it's all simultaneous now, pretty much. Still some of that going on, but it's the same in the greater world. Things happen in the United States, they migrate, you know, filter through, and then here in Eastern Europe, there's a little bit of a lag time is what I'm trying to get around to. So I'm talking to someone, smart kids here that just graduated college and they're working at a mattress store or something.
Yeah.
Because there's no job.
Yeah.
But you talk to them and they parrot their narrative is the same. It's like they expected Arnold Schwarzenegger and maybe Stallone to come and rescue them if anybody beats up on them. I mean, it's like Turkey and Greece got some problems right now. Erdogan's kind of acting crazy, and the Greeks are a little bit afraid because their military is not. They're depending on NATO.
Right.
But these people, they think, well, it's okay. We sure are glad America is such a great friend because, you know, then Turkey won't beat up on us. And I'm telling them, I'm going,
Better think again.
You need to think again. America's not really, I mean, yeah, Americans are loving people, but the government of America is not your friend. I mean, they're these people that you're talking about want to take what you have. And I think, you know, I hope that somehow your message will get through. I hope that maybe some of the things that I write or some of my contemporaries write will get through to a few more people or maybe tip the balance somehow.
Well, I think they do find your pieces do find their way to good people, and hopefully what we do here, we've got a great audience, Phil. These people are just superb. They understand the basics. They know that I'm not here to tell anyone what to think or how to think, but just to ask them to engage in the process, which they don't do in most schools anymore. They tell them what to think. They're programming them, just like television.
It's absolute. And, you know, it's like a test. I was trying to conjure the prospect a little bit earlier in our discussion of it almost, our situation now almost seems like the people in charge, in quotation marks, are testing all of us to see just how ridiculous they can be.
That's right.
So that they can go to the next phase.
Yeah,
right. Okay, let's see.
Absolutely.
Let's see if they'll put up with, you know, let's try this gas attack in London and see if they believe this. There's no proof. It's amazing. There's no proof.
You mean in Syria, in Douma?
No, the one for the ship called the guy that double agent.
Oh, Skripal and his daughter. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you never even saw these people.
No.
I mean, I don't know whether it happened or not. You don't know. Nobody knows. But I mean, somebody knows. But we've never seen the people. For all we know, they could be dead. They could have never had anything happen.
She came out. She was in public about a week and a half ago, I think, week ago.
Yeah.
But you're right. It's all lies. That's all I can say. It's all lies to one degree or another. But you've got to walk into any news story with the basic understanding that you are being lied to. Okay?
Yeah.
It's up to you to try to figure out the dots that are worth connecting. A lot
Absolutely.
Of it's just crap, total crap.
It's just made up.
Yeah, it's all made up. Like this whole war on Russia. Putin is the preeminent statesman of our time. This issue of Russophobia, blaming Russia for everything, blaming Putin for everything, which the Western Zionist press does nonstop, is really disgusting. And unfortunately, the polls bear out how effective programming is to the masses. They're tending to believe a lot of this stuff.
And, how can you not? I mean, even you, yeah. I don't know how we got into this, outside the bubble. I mean, but if you think about it, there's no other way. I mean, if your reality is Putin is evil and Obama or Trump is good, continually all around you, maybe 1% would think, outside of that,
right.
Wonder about it.
Right.
I mean,
right. No, they don't. They just reflexively go through the day, and they don't question. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Jeff. I was just going to say I'm starting a second book, a little bit, a good bit more academic than the first one.
Uh huh.
And it's about Putin and some of this stuff. And I started writing. I got through the first chapter and a half, almost two chapters, and I just said, okay, I'm going to base this using the Western mainstream media sources and stories. And my intention is to beat them over the head, the liars over the head with their own lies. And as I started writing, I'm just going through, and I was amazed at how quickly I could go through. The interesting thing about Putin is there's not one single solitary thing that he's been accused of that can be proven or has been proven.
Isn't that interesting?
Except for the little green men. It's unbelievable.
That is interesting. Totally true. All right, hold on a minute. We'll be right back with Phil as we continue our conversation here on this Thursday night already. This issue of so-called journalism anymore is one of the biggest perpetrators of the lie that we've ever had to face. Journalism is essentially dead in this country. Most of them are whores. Gerald Celeni calls them prostitutes. Very good. They are not serving your interests. They are serving their masters. We have to do our own journalism in order to be able to begin to tie these things together. We cannot rely on any of the majors. As I mentioned, Tucker Carlson is the only one I consider to be an honest man in a corrupt, really negligent field of alleged professionals. These people are frauds. They're ego trippers. They're in it for the money. They'll do exactly what they're told. So how do Americans who actually watch TV think that they're informed? That's the big question. They do, and they'll fight over it. They say, well, it can't be on TV if it's not true. Oh, wrong. So we know all this. We know. But I don't know how we have any kind of a chance to fight back, Phil. We don't have access to the majority media, which is owned 95% plus of it by six corporations. We have no entree. We're not going to get into there. So all we can do is stand up on our own platforms and do the best we can to reinforce each other. Hopefully, people will be able to find their way here and at least become self-informed. That's the best we can hope for right now.
Yeah, I think you're right, Jeff. I mean, I think we're in sort of a post-apocalyptic situation. It's almost like we're in a media Mad Max, There's just a few places that are safe.
Right.
Find a hired gun that'll give you the right ammunition to live your life and at least be independent. I mean, I do this media analysis all the time. I find myself criticizing people. I don't like to be that way.
Uh-huh.
But when you dig into... When you know better than anybody does, when you start digging into this stuff, you find people, and those people are doing the wrong thing. And what are you supposed to do? You just say, oh, it's okay. How can you describe how the world got into such a fix without isolating some of the causes?
Right. The first day you give one of these major alternative media figures a free ride, when they do something you know is not only incongruent to what they normally do, but is wrong, you've made a mistake. You really
Yep,
should
you're
cut those.
absolutely right.
You should cut those people off. If they lie to you once, they're going to
They'll
lie to you
always lie.
again and again and again. So why bathe yourself in that? You're better off
Absolutely.
doing your own research. And I would invite all of you just to come over here and just read the headlines here. There,
Absolutely.
I try to make mini stories out of the headlines. Just read the
Yeah.
headlines. You'll be informed, I guarantee it. But
Yeah.
when you sit back and watch these people, the manipulators, and God knows there are many of them out there who call themselves journalists. They're not journalists. They're agents provocateur. They're
Absolutely.
absolute whores. They're working for the man. So.
I just did a story the other day about a Thompson Award-winning journalist. So, you know, and if you, I've done this a bunch of times, Jeff, and I know you have too. If you pick one of these stories, if you pick one of these, I call them Ebola ideas that that the
Oh yeah, yeah,
New
yeah.
World Order is putting out.
Right,
If you
right.
pick one of them and then you dig down, you find out who wrote it. You find out who they work for. You
Yep.
find out what a Thompson Award is. Like I'm looking at Martin Chulov right now. This is a constant Putin hater, blah, blah, blah. You know the story. Read what a Thompson Award winner is. What is a Thompson Award? Most people don't even know. They don't care. But when you dig down into that, you find that all of it leads to the money that's tied to the people we were talking about that were the admin back in the 60s. How
Correct.
this morphed it, how all of this slopped over, as you aptly described, was because these people are tied to organizations like and think tanks like the Brookings Institute, for
or the
example.
Heritage Foundation, one of
yeah,
the worst.
Absolutely. And they're all supported by huge money assets, or
right.
by, I mean, that some nowadays, because of the testing aspect that we talked about. See, the people that are sucking the world dry and ruining America and turning us into some kind of a matrix-like society, these guys, they don't even care anymore. They know that the people aren't watching. They know that the next generation can't even see them. They just walk in broad daylight now. You can make the ties. You can look at the Clinton
Right.
Foundation and find that they're crooked.
Yeah.
You can look at the Haiti stuff and listen to the people there that are suffering because these people lied and didn't do anything for them. I mean, but the thing is, the people are just immune to the idea of it now. Even if they hear a little like you or me or somebody else saying, "Hey, we should look at this Clinton Foundation or the Brookings Institute. What is that?" I mean, I find this interesting, and I know you're a historian, so you'll appreciate this. The guy that created the Brookings Institute was Woodrow Wilson's head of armaments. You have a think tank in Washington.
You gotta laugh. Yeah.
That's based on it comes from the same people that created the situation with central banks that we have now. You know, I mean, Wilson betrayed America. Everybody knows that does any history in the War Industries Board that Wilson created.
Right.
DuPont and all these other companies that now support these institutions, DuPont made something like 1,000,000% profit in World War I off of gunpowder. I mean, so empires were built off of people getting killed. These
sure.
wars, many of them were created for that purpose. And the people that are running the show, it's just like we look at some of these figureheads that we have now, Cheney and some of those guys, they're all linked to the Warren Report, which was linked to the JFK assassination, which was linked to the Vietnam War. I mean, you know, you don't. So it sounds 10 years ago, we talked like this and everybody that we in listening range goes, wow, they're conspiracy theorists. They're crazy or whatever. But now.
Conspiracy researchers, right?
Conspiracy. Well, it's a conspiracy. It's like the Zionist situation. Things that I'm figuring out now. I'm not an anti-Semite. I don't care what.
Well, it has nothing to do with Semitic peoples. 95% of Zionists are Khazarian Eastern Europeans.
Yeah.
Anyhow, they're not biblical people.
They're not even Jews.
No.
They have nothing to do with it. And I'm digging into, you know, this thing with Putin is interesting. I think that it's central in a way to our problem. Let's call it to the Armageddon trail that we're on. I mean, it's central, it's biblical in a way.
Right.
And, you know, it's funny, the Russians, I deal quite closely with a lot of high-level Russians. They don't want to be anti-Semitic. They're not scared of the Israel or something, but they don't like to be bad. I guess it's a simple way to put that. They don't want to talk bad about Jewish people and stuff like that.
But underneath,
they know that the Zionists have caused them a lot of trouble.
That was exactly what I was going to say. They have never forgotten who the Bolsheviks were,
yep,
who was behind absolutely them, who took over their country, created the yep Soviet Union, communism, Marxism, killed over 100 million people, started the war. They were getting, people don't understand this. The communist Soviet armies were massed to the east of Germany and getting ready. They were within 1 week of launching a massive million-man army march through Germany, Poland, all the way to the English Channel. They were going to take Europe down. Hitler found out about it through his intelligence agency and launched Operation Barbarossa, which yep the Russians, Soviets, were facing to the west because they were getting ready to make their massive invasion from east to west. The Germans went around them and captured over 1 million men in yep the Soviet army. That's a million.
True.
Adolf Hitler saved Europe from the Soviet hordes
yep
for 5 years at least, okay?
Yep.
Give the people credit who did the work. The Germans stopped the overrun of Europe by the Soviet hordes. The communist Bolshevik Soviet hordes. They were all ready, and Barbarossa stopped them. That's the truth, but no one will talk about it. General Patton understood. He figured it out. He knew who the real enemy was. And look what they did yeah to Patton.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and the research I'm doing now about the Israeli mafia, you know, you don't hear that much about that. I mean, I know you know a lot about it.
Yeah, yeah.
But you're getting this Trump-Putin collusion thing. There's no such thing. Putin and a lot of the Russians favored Trump over Hillary Clinton for obvious reasons, because Hillary Clinton was a arch enemy almost of these people. I mean, the MH17 fiasco, all of this other stuff, Libya, Arab Spring, all of this regime change is... Clinton and Trump are linked to this, but in different ways. Trump is a straw man. Trump is a straw man, for the Zionists. And that what the Jewish people don't realize is they're being used by these people that you described that supposedly want to create a greater Israel. But see, in my view, greater Israel is already here. And from their ideas of what it needs to be, because Israel controls much of what we see here, do, buy, sell, everything in the Western Hemisphere.
Yeah, 0.37% of the world population. Figure
tells
it
us
out.
What
come
to
on
do. Yeah, come give on us a break. So I think that the poor Jewish shop owner that's just like he's just worshiping God the way he wants to, and he's tied through his rabbi to these other fellows, has no idea that he's going to be sacrificed before the altar of everybody in the rest of the world getting tired of being
right
subjugated.
I mean, you got to do is go back to World War II and read
yep
about Rabbi Michael Dov Wiesmandl, Wiesmandl. He was the one who worked out this settlement with the German government to get all of the Jews out of occupied Europe in
yep
1942. He had to go and talk to World Zionist headquarters in Switzerland to try to get $3.5 million or something, $4 million, to allow all the Jews to be taken by train and bus and whatever to the Spanish border. The only requirement was they not go on to Palestine. They
right
go somewhere else.
And United States
the Zionists would not give Rabbi Wiesmandl a penny, or whatever the currency was. They told him to go home, Rabbi, because unless a lot of Jews die and suffer in the war, we will not be able to establish, establish Israel and achieve our goals after the war. So they sacrificed their own people.
It was a conspiracy. Come on. It's the same, you know, conspiracy. It's like now they're trying to show collusion between Putin and Trump when there is none. And I'm starting to figure out that the collusion they're talking about does exist, I think, between Trump and the Israeli-Russian mafia people. That's where the collusion is.
They've had their hands on him for decades, probably.
I'll break something on you that maybe you don't know, because you know I dig pretty deep in this, and so if I just found something out, maybe it's something that everybody else doesn't know. I was talking with a high-level official the other day, and I wanted to get something right about a story, you know, not just screw up and put the wrong name or idea on something. I put the question to this person, and they came back, and they said, well, that person you're talking about is associated with the family. And I went, the family? That sounds, well, you know, that's a little bit like out of a spy novel or something.
It's a Hollywood term.
And I went, the family? What is that? And so I did my research. The person knew that I would. I mean, you know, so it was a little bit cryptic, but it's okay because I knew to dig. Well, the family is the Yeltsin family and the people associated with Yeltsin, who was a Rothschild guy in place to basically carve up Russia. Mm-hmm. And the family was given immunity by Vladimir Putin when he was right after he was appointed president by Yeltsin. It was part of a deal, you see. Mm-hmm. The family is all these guys, like, let me give you a name just so the people here can do their own research. Boris Berezovsky.
Boris Berezovsky.
You know, see, they blame Putin for killing him or whatever, you know. For everything. Yeah. Okay, Khodorkovsky, the Yukos oil mafioso.
Yeah.
That's in London, you know, raising a bunch of
stink. Yeah, Putin laid him out. Now he wants to take Russia. He's the globalist boy.
These guys are the Jewish mafia guys. These guys are the ones that are actually in collusion with people like Trump.
All the oligarchs are part of the tribe, all of them.
Yeah. Well, and Israel's tied straight into it, the people in charge there, because, you know, many of these people, I can't call the names, but I've got them written down. It doesn't make that much difference. Anybody that wants to do the research, just look at an Israeli mafia, Russian mafia, plug in these names, Khodorkovsky and a few of the other ones. Many of the oligarchs that Putin has had to deal with, he had to give immunity to some of these people in order to save Russia. The deal was the factions that are in Russia. See, there's factions within the KGB. Most people don't realize that. There's one faction as opposed to another. And when everything fell down, these factions tried to take control. Some of them aligned themselves with the West, like with Rothschild and what have you, and with the big oil companies and Rockefeller and those guys. And then the other side were more patriotic and aligned themselves with the old school in Russia. So that's what you're seeing now. You're seeing the old school in Russia that has had to make some deals in order to survive. And those deals were ironclad, fairly ironclad, so that a new person could take over and try to help Russia emerge to be the country it could be. So now what you're looking at, anybody that wants to look into this the way you or I look into it, can find out where the root problem is. You can't find the exact person. Like, maybe there's not an exact person. But the Zionists play a major role in all the crises on this world.
Sure.
Not the Jewish people. They're Jewish. It just so happens.
Zionism is a secular, international, geopolitical, global power movement for total world conquest.
Domination, yeah.
They hide behind the idea of the Jewish religion. They just use it.
And they use the immunity that they got in World War II when the Final Solution was put into effect.
So-called.
I mean, think about it. If you're really a smart person, if you're really, let's just call it diabolical because I like that word. If you're really diabolical and you have all the resources in the world and time and money, what do you sit back and plan how to do? how to tell everybody what you're going to do and honestly get their money? Or do you lie to them and steal even more money?
Interesting word, diabolical. Diablo. Yeah. It's a devil, satanic, Luciferian, diabolical.
Yeah. I mean, I know we've got a lot of your listeners are, you know, they're religious and they believe in God, and maybe most of them I would say do, because I listen a lot and I read a lot, and there's some of the feedback and stuff like that. There's nothing to be ashamed of to be a spiritual being and to believe in a higher power. But if you believe in a higher power, who was it? Thomas Aquinas, the second law of thermodynamics. He proved the existence of God. Well, you know, in that proof is the essence of existence. Mm-hmm. If you believe that the sun is greater than Venus, then you believe in God, because there is a greater power. You might not know how to define it or name it, but it exists. And if there's a greater power, there's an opposing force to it. It's the law of physics. And that opposing force is Diablo, whoever that is, or whatever that is, but we know that exists.
Well, it's the age-old battle between light and dark, good and bad.
Yep, absolutely, and that's where we're at in America. That we've made full circle now. You and I have come back to look what's happening in America. Is it good or bad? It's not good.
No, it isn't good.
Not good because it's a facade. You know, people here in Europe, they ask me, you know, when I tell them some of the things, I'm not trying to bash America. I'm just playing out the reality. They say, wow, America is so rich and blah, blah, blah. And it is true. It is compared to them. But then they ask me, like I was at the market the other day. Here, it's like the old, like I said, it's like 40 or 50 years ago in America. Mm-hmm. There's a market. There's a store on every corner. You get to know everybody. You know, it's a wonderful atmosphere.
That's nice. That's really
But when
nice.
You tell them that this doesn't exist in America anymore, they don't believe you. And they go, what do you mean? Even in the small towns, Phil? And I'm going, especially in the small towns, they're dried up. They're ghost towns.
They got Super Walmart within miles of downtown. That's it.
Yeah, it's over. Your little mom and pop is gone.
Yeah.
There's no farmer's market. There's no, because everybody wants that GMO, it will kill you sooner or later food that Walmart's got, instead of the products.
All commercial food establishments now, unless they're a Whole Foods market, and even there you've got to be very careful.
Absolutely.
Any of these stores. But make the effort and try to become vegetarian first, at least, and then work toward vegan. If you want to live an extra 20 years, that's the way to do it.
Absolutely, Jeff. I mean, so all these things tie together and link together, and the catastrophe that you are describing is not because Jeff Rentz wants to talk about catastrophe. It's because it is in your care, and you want people to know there is a better way. You know, there's another way to do it. I mean, here, I hope someday you'll come here and visit us.
That'd be fun.
Because I'll take you to a place where you can eat a banana, and your brain will tell you, wow, I haven't been eating banana. This is kind of like the whole Matrix thing is brought forward. Because you eat a banana, and then your brain tells you, wow, I remember this, and it's not what I've been eating. Then you go, wow, the bubble breaks open, and you go, wow, I am living in an Orwellian.
I'm very careful about what I eat, and I think many of our listeners are too. You are what you eat, you are what you think, and you cannot expose yourself to the lie and not be impacted by it. That's all you can do. So stay the hell away from it as much as possible.
Absolutely. I know you're trying to tell people the truth.
Reality anyway, huh? Phil, thank you. Thank you for getting up early. Go back to sleep, although 4 cups of coffee, I don't think you can, but try.
No, I'm wired now, Jeff. Thank you so much. God bless you, man.
Thank you, Phil. Good night. Phil Butler. Okay. We will be back tomorrow night. And, geez, it's the 27th already. John Barber is supposed to be here, believe it or not. Johnny Boy, among others, tomorrow night. Talk to you then.